Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You say James Bond will be back. It's there right on the screen. I have my doubts, but just give us a sense of how, like, have you started to figure out how he will be back? Do you know how he will come back?
No, but we'll figure that one out. But he will be back. And you can rest assured James All right. Bond will be back.
So this is not the end. This is not the end of the line. We can get some more.
No.
Okay.
Really 007. Welcome to Really 007 in this new James Bond Will Return series, where we'll chart the progress and development of Bond 26, whilst also giving our own views and hopes on the future of our favourite secret agent. As you may have noticed almost immediately, Tom is taking a well-deserved break from hosting, and it's going to be me, his youngest brother Harry, steering the ship for this. And when I took on the mantle, I thought it would be a nice kind of side mini-series, but judging by the speed things are developing, this series could actually outlive all the other reviews and specials that we've still got left to do. But yeah, in case you didn't know, Really 007 is a proud part of the Pod Dojo network, and you can find all our content in a variety of ways and platforms, and follow us on social media. Just look us up at Really 007 Pod. I wanted to do that one in the style of you, Tom. This is the first episode of James Bond Will Return, and it's titled Privileged Position. And we'll talk more about that later. But for this first episode of the series, there is me hosting and there is Tom, who is not hosting. Tom, you are just here tonight to take part, which I'm sure is a relief for you.
I'm a guest. You failed to show me.
And my other brother, Math. And hello, Math.
Hello.
And then John.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
So that's everyone apart from Rob at the moment. And going forward, it might not be all of us, but it's just a chance for us all to kind of catch up and see where we're up to with the new Bond. And whereas maybe the usual content, the usual reviews and episodes are more of a sort of evening entertainment, commute to work kind of listen, this might be kind of a mini kind of breakfast episode where it's just your small kind of update just to keep you going through the day, just a little one. And it's all focused on Bond 26.
So we're just wanting to take over everyone's meal times. This is a breakfast episode.
This is the breakfast, yeah,
absolutely.
The best place I thought to start this series was just to look at where we are in the franchise and how utterly unique this position is that we are in. Of course, we've had moments in the series before where we've known an actor would be stepping down as Bond, or people sensed that it would be a certain actor's last Bond. But where we're at now, it's not just new casting of Bond, but it really is the blankest the canvas has ever been because of the outcome of No Time to Die, where James Bond himself died. Spoiler alert. And joining us in the nick of time, right at the start of the episode, we do have Rob making it a full compliment. How do you, Robert?
Guys, I saw the photograph of you guys doing this and I just could not miss. I've only got like 5 minutes.
I never miss.
It's so lovely to see you all. And I'm so sorry for stomping in on an hour.
Oh, stomping anytime. You can drop in as casually as you like to this, Rob. Talking about how the position we're in with the franchise at the moment is a position like we've never been in before. I'd just like to know your general feeling towards going ahead with the franchise in terms of, is it a feeling of excitement? Is it a bit of trepidation about it? How do you feel where we're at the moment, in if you can possibly do that in a nutshell?
Yeah, of course. I'm absolutely obsessed and in love with James Bond, the franchise. So I'm very excited to get cracking. I don't want to sail this off into the sunset. I want to see what's coming and I want to be excited about what's coming next. The current date of play is a flat zero, isn't it? So there's not a great deal to be very much excited about. What seems very painfully obvious is that Eon seems, and this is just an opinion, but Eon seems to have totally misjudged the fact that, well, it seems to think that what happened at the end of the last installment, they seem to think is so seismic that we're going to need some time to get over it, i.e. a number of years, that we're going to need at least a grace period to let dear Daniel go off into the sunset, you know, which, you know, and that we're going to need, I don't know, years of coming to terms with how his tenure ended. We actually don't. We want to crack on. And for a lot of people, we actually want to consign that to footnote as well. Rather it. It was just something that, wow, that was a bit of a strange offshoot. But we go again, you know, as Steven Gerrard famously said before not winning the title.
Well, it could be similar, yeah.
That's it. So, no, James Bond will prevail. You know, like the James Bond will return, James Bond will prevail. It's just at the moment, I think that I'm hoping at the moment that it's just one big smokescreen. And that's really more out of blind hope than anything else. I hope we're just going to go to the cinema one day to watch, I don't know, Fast and the Furious 10, 11, 12, whatever
Fast
it is.
Fast X. Yeah.
Fast X, yeah. Which sounds like a laxative product, doesn't it?
Next month, mate. Can't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
The rude version of Fast Love, which is already rude. Yeah.
And then we'll get to the cinema and then there'll be a trailer like, you know, with an actor, with scenes shot, with something. It's just, I don't know whether that's just massive wishful thinking on my part. Whether I think they're still so hung up on what happened. And if this is not a smokescreen and they really are clinging on to the fact that, well, we can't think about James Bond without Daniel, I'm just sad with who's in charge, basically. You know, and I wish it had never come to this. But that's just me. I know that people are totally devoted to what happened and I'm so glad for those people, you know, because that's how I felt with certain moments of James Bond a long time ago. And I know how that feels to be that caught up and enamoured with the world of Bond. So that's great. I'm absolutely thrilled for those people. At the minute, I want to get going. I want to know what's coming next. I want to see an exciting actor, trailer, location, cast, script, talk of script, or not any of that. If they came out next week with a trailer like Brosnan's reveal trailer, you know, you were expecting someone else kind of thing, everything would be forgiven. It's just I can't quite picture that. But that's where I'm at the moment. I'm very interested to hear what you guys think.
No, I think that's a lot of people would share your opinion on that, Rob. I think we're in a position now where there is almost silence. We get the odd bits from Barbara, but the silence I think a lot of Bond fans are hoping is a smokescreen. Of some of the fans that we talk to, some are adamant that that's what it is. But then, like you've kind of said, Rob, there are some people that just find it very hard to believe, and that's partly through how much attention and focus they've put on the previous era with Daniel Craig. They've never quite had, they've never shown the ability to look past him over the last few years. So I think a lot of people are worried that they're still stuck on. But like you've said, you know, we're a flat zero. It is ground zero with Bond. Mm. And like you, I think it's because it's such a unique, privileged position we have here that we can actually, for the first time, not just speculate about who the next Bond will be, but we can speculate about absolutely everything. And we've never had this chance as fans to do that. We've never had this chance to kind of fantasize about what the future could look like with Bond, because it's always been in the pipeline.
The pipeline.
And I think.
Sorry, too easy.
I set you up.
My father's legacy.
Yeah. Ill, sorry.
No, it's and for us, you know, as a podcast and all the other podcasts and people who, you know, make James Bond their life, put so much effort into following the updates, I'm wanting with this series to try and look positively and look ahead, because there's so much that could happen. And it might be, you know, that as we get more and more updates, our dreams become, you know, reduced and reduced as it happens, because as soon as you find out the director, that changes things. As soon as you find out who's been cast as Bond and the writers, that changes things. But where we're at right now is, as I say, the blankest that it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cause for celebration in some way. that is a chance for us to get excited, I think. Although I'm not especially happy about the circumstances that put us in this position, I think it's something for us as a podcast and as you know, the James Bond family and community, it's something for us to kind of share ideas and share opinions about in a way we've never had the chance to before. Math, I know, you know, you've not always agreed with things that have got us to this stage, but is there part of you that enjoys talking about where we're going and what might be, you know, coming up with the franchise?
Yeah, of course there is. And like you say, we've never been in this position before. With every other actor, it's been a case of, well, it seems to have been, will they, won't, you know, will they come back, won't they come back? And it's been a continuation, really. And then obviously when Pierce left and Daniel Craig came in, it was, you know, they made it clear that it was going to be some sort of reboot. But I think when I'm thinking about it, you know, it's like there's what I think and, you know, what I would do and what, you know, which is exciting to think about. But then sadly less exciting, sorry to be negative, is what I think they won't do. What I think they will do, or what I think they won't do of what I would do, if you know what I mean. I think in some ways I can understand them wanting a bit of a gap after this Daniel Craig era and the fact that they've killed him off. And I think, you know, modern audiences, probably non-Bond audiences, would be a bit more confused if there was suddenly a new Bond film. However, if you think about Batman, there's a new Batman film fairly regularly, or a new Batman fairly regularly. So after the Dark Knight trilogy, which finished in 2012, it only took until 2015 for Batman versus Superman to come out, where, you know, I felt that was a bit soon, but, you know, I quite like that, you know, a bit of a different incarnation and everything. So I think audiences can deal with it, if you know what I mean. And, you know, Bond has been going for such a long time and the actors have changed. People know that. And, it, you know, maybe some modern audiences aren't as familiar with it, but you don't just have to constantly pander to them. You can say, right, we reset, we go again. Yeah, and, you know, like when The Batman with Robert Pattinson has come out and it was set, you know, you didn't see flashbacks of his thingy, you know, his parents being killed and stuff like that. People haven't been confused or whatever. They know it. They know the drill. So you can just go straight in and people will be able to adapt. What I would do, you know, like, let's have, you know, more of a sort of, you know, not necessarily fantastical, but, you know, as we've said, like a Living Daylights or a GoldenEye style sort of resetting with a new actor, introducing them, throwing them straight in, but introducing them at the same time with someone like Henry Cavill, who's ready to go, and let's just have fun. It's not that fun doesn't necessarily mean the same as silly. I think people often confuse those things, because I think there's lots of fun elements in, you know, even in Timothy Dalton's, even some Daniel Craig's films. But I just think there's the opportunity now to go in a different direction to what Daniel Craig did. And so, yeah, given the fact that they'd put so, you know, all their eggs in Daniel Craig's basket, so to speak. Don't know quite how that metaphor, you know, works, but
I think there is his eggs and the is his basket.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't think they know where they are or what they're doing and what the plan is. And yeah, I you know, but we'll see.
I do agree. So it's been mentioned about the wait, and I know, I think most of our group are keen to just keep going and want news of development. But I did mention, in, I can't remember whether it was Bond on the big screen anniversary. Matt, sorry, do you want to?
Yeah, sorry. There's one thing I meant to mention as well. Yeah, sorry, yeah. And it might link into what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I mentioned modern audiences. So there's also people who, there's like people like us who haven't been so keen, Bond fans who haven't been so keen on the recent era. Sorry, yeah. who want it to get, you know, get going and have a certain, you know, we want to go back to this way and we want a new film as soon as possible. But I also think, having looked at, you know, Bond Twitter and that those who are big Daniel Craig fans, they're not saying, come on, we need a long break. I think most of them, from what I see, want to get going again and get frustrated. I might be completely wrong, but they would probably want something to be moving along. They're not wanting us to, you know, have this continual victory lap or just this whatever it is. So sorry, that's what I wanted to say.
No, I think that's worth saying. And not, I don't think that's something we've said before, actually. I've never focused on what those people who are pleased with how things went with Daniel Craig. I suppose we've not focused much on how this gap is affecting them. I was just going to say, you sort of mentioned the Batman comparisons and things like that. Would you not say that it was to the detriment, though, those subsequent Batman films and Spider-Man, when they did turn things around too quickly, like with Andrew Garfield, I mean? Like,
yeah.
Would those films have performed better if the appetite was there? And I do believe that, but at the same time, I definitely agree with your point that James Bond is different. People are used to the idea of reincarnation, not worrying about what happened in the last film, just being given the next adventure. But having said that, I do think there is some value in waiting, certainly in terms of announcing a new actor and things like that. I don't think it should have come straight away. The problem they had was the pressure of the 60th year, and that really fans really wanted something good in that 60th year, and it didn't come on that anniversary note, which is a shame, but perhaps it might be for the better.
As I was thinking about it, in my lifetime, there has always been a delay from a James Bond changing hands. The days of Lazenby to Connery and back and more, and then Dalton the year after, I don't realistically see that happen again. Mm. I know that circumstances meant there was a massive delay from Dalton to Brosnan. So there was 6 years there, and then there was 4 years between Die Another Day to Casino Royale. So I think a wait of a film is par for the course, if I'm being totally honest. Mm. I think what I struggle with is more the complete... I don't think she's doing a smokescreen. I don't think there is clarity over the way forward. And I think that, I wonder, I've got to say this, I wonder if she's just grown exhausted of it. I don't know, but I wonder if, there's two aspects of, like, Daniel was her baby, you know, regardless of own personal opinions, in general, it's pulled off. It was a good choice and fair play and all the rest of it. I think that she is far too personally attached to that. And that because of that, to spend the next year like basically going championing him in plays or doing documentaries and even having a motivation of the previous film about being a send-off, I think Barbara and Michael probably don't have a clear view of the way forward. And I don't think they have the energy still to want to do it. I'm going to say this now. I think they're going to sell. I think that they are going to give somebody else. She'll stay as an exec producer because of the broccoli name, but they need someone else. I think she's really thinking we need someone else to come and be an exec producer and come and drive this forward.
Very interesting.
And I think that is the reason why we're waiting, because there is no vision to that. And in some ways, you know, it takes a really bold person to step back and do that, you know, and to say I'm not there. If I'm completely speculating, But that is my actual opinion with it all. I'd rather have someone in who's got the real drive and vision for it than someone who would be treading water or feel like this is, I've lost the passion for it. I mean, Eon have just produced another film, haven't they, that President Biden was, he introduced the other day, didn't he? It was the, that's the one. Yeah. So Barbara was there again. And again, Barbara on the interviews was saying how disappointed that the Academy had not recognised it. And it seems to me that Barbara's passion at the moment is getting critically acclaimed films. That's her thing. And whilst these latest Daniel Craig films are reasonably critically acclaimed, that's not the heart of Bond, and it never has been. These are action or spy thrillers. Yeah, so that's my thoughts on where it is.
The next episode that we're kind of planning to talk about is the situation with Eon and, of course, Amazon and the role that Amazon play in all this,
okay.
Which is a big conversation. But I, you know, just when you're speaking there, it did kind of come to me as well. The question, you know, is Barbara might not be a franchise person anymore. It's she's someone who wants to go off individual films and actors, and she might not be, maybe she once did, but right now she doesn't have the mindset to continually move on, to continually evolve. And I'm sure that does take energy and creativity. But if you believe that's going to be the next announcement, that's a pretty hot take, John. But, you know, this is something people would argue that she should have sensed a little sooner than now. Because, of course, we go back to the schedule of No Time to Die, the original release date, the postponements. But perhaps only once the dust has settled after the reception of No Time to Die could she make this decision. Tom, where are you up to with things? Are you in a position where you can see light at the end of this gun barrel?
Yeah, I think something will have to happen. But I do believe everything they've said. I just don't think they're not treating it like, I think I've used the comparison before of a football team. Even if you've got a great manager, the people in the background are still thinking about if we go on a bad run of form, who's available at the moment and things like that. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, any good business, any Marvel, all these things. I know they're different because there's multiple films, there's multiple characters. No one's expecting 10 Bond films every year. It's ridiculous. But it really is not that difficult. All we're asking for is a stock action film. You know, it's not, you don't have to think about what direction we're going to go in too much. Just make one and go in a particular direction for that film.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, even if it works, you can do a different style for the one after that. I think I agree that, although I think it's poor that 2019 is when they stopped filming, so they should really have been thinking about what to do. Not necessarily the actor, but the direction, if they wanted the direction, or how they were. If they knew Bond was going to die, they've got to have been thinking, how on earth can we recover from that? And one of the ways of recovering from that is dead simple. You just do another Bond film and just don't mention it. Carry on as if nothing's happened. The way Living Daylights opens with Timothy Dalton, there's not even a reference that Roger Moore was the previous Bond, or, you know, with, of course, George Lazenby had that this didn't happen to the other fella. You don't even need that. You just have a different Bond. And I know you're saying about Batman, but I think people are more invested in the peripheral characters, you know, like Alfred. I was thinking Alfred the Butler, and I merged it into Albert.
Yeah, Alfred Broccoli.
Yeah. But, you know, all the peripheral characters, like, who's the Joker? And there's so many Jokers, and, oh, they're going to tease who's the Joker and all this rubbish, but like the Barry Keoghan and all that stuff. Bond fans and the peripheral Bond fans don't care about who's the next Blofeld or who the next M is or even Q, you know. Mm-hmm. They just want a new film. Like, no one, when GoldenEye was coming out, It was okay. There was a bit of fanfare that there's a female M, but if it had just been another new M actor, no one would have cared. It's just who's Bond? Brosnan's Bond. That's the only person we care about.
They've tried in recent films, they've tried to create a bit of suspense and awe about who Moneypenny is and who Blofeld is. They've tried that, but I completely agree. It's not something that needs doing or needs doing again.
It's fine. It worked for those films. You know, it was a different way of introducing the characters. Q, though, Q just came. There was no like, oh, who's this chap? Oh, and then it's finally revealed he's Q. You know, it didn't need that. It was good how they introduced him, just as Q. Even M, we only need them. We've had them introduced as new M's. Okay, the way Ralph Fiennes was introduced, that was partly because of the storyline of M dying. I agree. And that's not, it doesn't mean that what they've done is wrong in that approach. Hmm. The slow reveal of Blofeld is fine because it's a bigger character. Obviously, I would have done it differently over more films. That was never going to happen because Daniel Craig was only going to do one more. But they don't need to do that again. You know, we don't need to have a slow reveal of the next Blofeld, for instance. I mean, with the cast, I know we might talk about this in another episode, but I've seen loads of videos recently. Who will return? Will the cast return? And not one of them has mentioned, well, how can any of them? Because the last scene of the last film is them all mourning the death of Bond. I cannot understand how any of those characters can continue.
There's one article, I don't know if it's Esquire, saying 7 things that need to happen for the next Bond to be successful. And I think one of them was it has to be a complete reset. Whereas, obviously, we had Judi Dench carrying over from Brosnan to Craig. This one's saying you can't even do that. I think it does need to be a complete refresh from top to bottom. And also, that protects what happens in the Daniel Craig era as well. It gives it its own...
Yeah.
It keeps it wrapped up. Yeah, it's a tricky one because we've so little to go on, and we, as Bond fans, let our minds and imaginations run and think these things are possible. But like you say, Tom, for them as a business, to be business-minded, this should have been up their sleeve or in consideration or in talks.
There is a sense of frustration because of like what you obviously mentioned before, that, you know, this isn't rocket science. You know, this is, you know, it's not that difficult to write a solid spy thriller, you know, action adventure film, because you've got so many, you know, iconic things to pull from, you know, that you've already got a character that the world already knows. You know, everyone knows the setup, everyone knows what the sort of everything that comes with it. So I am finding it very frustrating. And to go back to the other point about, you know, where Eon are, I think you're right that I think Barbara Broccoli has, you know, taken on the mantle and had done remarkable things with it, considering, you know, after Dying of the Day and, you know, casting a new Bond and the backlash that came with that, that she's managed to, you know, produce, you know, critically acclaimed films that have made a lot of money.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I feel like her heart isn't in it anymore. And you can see that with the sort of Oscar baiting films, you know, the fact that she wanted to get Daniel Craig an Oscar and then she's got this new film. You know, you look at what she's producing now, she's got like 7 credits that, you know, for what's going to be, you know, she's going to be producing in the next, like, you know, few years, you know, and I just think that, you know, the working, you know, they did the rhythm section, which was that kind of like spy thriller type thing, and they're working with that writer again to do another version. You know, you've got this Till that obviously was, you know, again, that kind of like Oscar bait, award baiting kind of film about, you know, true stories, and, you know, and I just think that you know, what have we got? We've got 007's Road to a Million TV series. I think that she's more concerned with, you know, I think that there's like her, you know, the series that came before, you know, with the Broccolis producing these films, once they kind of pretty much after Runabout Goldeneye, Kubrick Brocker didn't produce anything else. It was just Bond films because he, and that's how he kept his pace going, because that was his like, that's my full-time job. I'm producing Bond films. And I think she's got sides, you know, tracked by other stuff. And I think that's fine. But, you know, we're in a difficult position where you've killed off the main character. So like I say, you now have like a sub series within the series where it starts, you know, the beginning and the end of the character. So nothing can continue. You know, we've never been in the position, like John said, where you've got a definitive kind of end to the series. You know, in theory, they could just walk away now and that'd be it. Yeah. You know, and that's the end of the series, because you went from, like saying, from, you know, Dalton, the break between Dalton and Brosnan was mostly to do with legal issues.
Yeah.
You know, it went from Brosnan to Craig before Brosnan knew he was fired. And I just think that and now it's ended. So how do we restart it? And I think that it is a really difficult position to be in. But I think the lack of, I don't know, the lack of drive is, and you can sense that there is a real frustration. People want more Bond films, and they want, you know, they want another film. And I think that you can't, there's no continuation after No Time to Die. It's impossible. It has to be a fresh start. I say you've never been in this position where the character is dead, where it's time to recast, and, you know, where do you start? And I think there is a bit of that, that maybe it's like, where do you start with this? Because we've never been in this position. You know, she managed to obviously kind of strike gold for, you know, box office gold with Daniel Craig, but what if it's the wrong actor? You know, she gets a Lazenby, he only actually sticks around for a year, or, you know, the reception isn't so great. I'm with John. I do think they're going to end up selling this, and she'll stay on as like some sort of producer, but really it's going to be someone else who's going to be driving this.
There's obviously Michael G. Wilson's role to think about, and I've heard speculation about, well, just fan speculation about him perhaps throwing in the towel as well.
Well, you know, they're getting on, aren't they? So.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it kind of makes me think as well about sort of musicians, you know, those huge pop stars. I might be wrong when I say this, but to keep up with the times, they hire new managers, don't they? They get new managers and they get someone else to take them into the next era, into the next step. It might be a case of actually James Bond needs a new manager, and it's not the managers who own the franchise, but the franchise needs someone else to take control. I think Chris, just coming back to you, the only possible comparisons we can make in terms of past experience of this is, and John said it before, the delay before GoldenEye and also the reinvention when it came to Daniel Craig. Can you remember how you felt at those times? I'm sure, you know, you weren't obviously a part of the Bond podcast then and talking about it 24/7, but can you remember similar feelings, or is this altogether different?
I remember after Dalton and thinking, why isn't there more? You know, usually there's more films by now. And then reading, because I was at a certain age, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, in Premier magazine, there was an article to do with some sort of, you know, legal issues. I was like, oh, come on, just sort it out. You know, this is the Bond franchise. We're up to, you know, fast approaching 20 films here. Come on, I think that, you know, need to sort it out. So, yeah, I remember feeling that, like, you know, there's only so many I can rewatch. You know, I want and this is what, as I say, I want to see whether it's, you know, Casino Royale or Quantum of Solace or Skyfall, which are for me very, you know, in quality, at least the Bond films, and at least, you know, it is something that you get excited about seeing, you know, the trailer, and you hear the music, you get kind of drawn in. And I just want them to make more Bond films. And I think that, and again, I don't know, you know, as a podcaster, whether it's Eon, just overthinking it and just get on with it. And I think that it's really, it feels very frustrating at the moment to be a Bond fan, because you kind of, you just want, it is, there's never been a time in its entire history where the slate is clean and that's it. Yeah. It's like, where do we start? And that, for me, that is incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
To say, right, what can we do with it? Well, actually, we might do something different and a one-off with the character or something here. It's like the world's your oyster, and you've got this amazing franchise, and amazing, whether it's book, you know, going back to the books, whether it's, you know, kind of, you know, there's just so much you can do with it. And that's where I get frustrated.
I think I completely agree. And I feel those frustrations. I want to see, I want to hear developments. I want to see something on a screen or a poster or a photograph. But I think what I really want, I do want to tap into that excitement in terms of, because this may never happen again for us as fans, you know, in our lifetimes, where we really can discuss everything. You know, nothing's left off the table at the moment. So as we go ahead, kind of looking at these episodes and some, you know, there will be developments that come, I'm sure, and that will kind of inform us and develop the way we talk about the next film. But right now, we're in this position where we're frustrated, we're a bit impatient, but of course we are super fans. We want what we want in some ways. Our opinion and the views of others, you know, we're in constant kind of negotiations talking about what should and shouldn't be as Bond. But when you take that to one side, it'd be great, I think, if we can kind of embrace this journey just a little bit. So that if it is that Barbara steps down, even that, you know, that's a development, that's the growth of the franchise, and we kind of track the progress of that. But also, in order to kind of appreciate where we're going, we do need to be honest of where we're up to at this stage. This series, James Bond Returns series, is not, as well as kind of charting the developments of Bond 26, it's kind of going to follow our journey with it as well. So that when we look back, this is where it started. We started it almost in no man's land. And hopefully we're going to see some kind of the ground level being sorted, something built up soon. But I think it will start with something that's fundamental, won't it? Like the producer or director. There was mention of Purvis and Wade being consulted, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Which we'll get onto on our episode about the writers. But I think before we know anything, there clearly has to be something big that happens in the foundations. And that's probably the first thing that will kick off informed, knowledgeable debate about where it's going. But for right now, when we talk about James Bond returning in Bond 26, this is where we're up to.
All we've got officially is the thing that everybody cheered at the end of, apparently, at the end of the credits, James Bond will return.
Yeah.
So that was their sort of stop, you know, stopgap, really, wasn't it? That wasn't, we know what we're doing. It was just, don't worry, that's not just because Bond's died. That doesn't mean this is the last Bond film. So that is, I know it's not much to, I'm afraid there's not much to go on, but it is positive. It's not, there is no chance that that was the last Bond film. I do believe that. I think the sort of disappointment has been that in the 60th year, every Bond fan was being overly optimistic in thinking that there's going to be some kind of announcement. There's going to be some kind of, yes, we've got a Bond, or we will be casting soon. I remember this time last year, the Oscars were coming up and everyone's like, they're going to announce the next Bond at the Oscars. No, they're not. No chance. It's a good thing to have a gap. Otherwise, the impact of when the next Bond will be cast is going to be big. It's going to be big.
Yes. Yeah,
it's going to be really exciting. If it was only, you know, a few months after Tomorrow Never Dies, No Time to Die to come out, then it is reducing the impact of the film in their sense, in that commercial sense. I really hope they do it without it leaking. That would be unbelievable.
Yes.
Problem is, on No Time to Die, though, there's so many leaks, weren't there? First of all, there were photographs of the girl filming. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, that wasn't Matilda. I think it was,
Madeleine.
When she was younger.
Madeleine.
It was her when she was younger. And then there was, of course, the rumour that he died and the Danny Boyle leaving and all that. So they're not very good at the moment of keeping secrets. So I do think that but that could give you hope in the Aaron Taylor-Johnson. There must be something in that storyline that
he's not commented, has he? Or
no, he hasn't. And I know he was at the Sound of 007 concert. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. In fact, that would be a bit weird if he was there.
Yeah.
But I do think they know that they've got to do something, which is a little bit better than I think last year was, we're taking a year off, or we're deliberately not doing anything. The comments at this Till premiere were worrying, or at the BAFTAs, they were worrying, but it is slightly better than no news, lads, nothing.
People now still talk so fondly about GoldenEye and the arrival of Pierce Brosnan, the unveiling of Pierce Brosnan. And like you say, and we'll get onto we will have an episode talking about the marketing and things like that, and, you know, viral campaigns. But like you say, Tom, it will be important that they manage to own the story and keep control of all the reveals if it's going to be big, because obviously it's different times, but everything that we were hit with GoldenEye was just fantastic. And the way they brought it about after that huge gap, was done and executed so well. But had there not been that gap, perhaps people wouldn't have been so fond and so overjoyed with what they got. And, you know, this could be the start of our kind of crusade, to get finally the next GoldenEye, the next moment. And, you know, it does start in the darkness and, we don't know where we are at the moment, but you just kind of got to have that hope that it's building towards something that we didn't see coming.
They've all gone on about they need to know the direction and they want to be building for a Bond in the for the next 10 years and all that. And they're getting stuck at the point where they haven't got that. And that's where they're getting stuck. So I am all for someone who having vision and throwing direction and for getting the right person. But there is a place for one-off short-termism. There is an absolute place for that. Jose Mourinho is the king of it. You know, in terms of like, you can talk all about your building your visions and your values and all the rest of it. But you get Jose in and you're throwing that out the window because you're trying to get a trophy. It's as simple as that. And with this, I think there's a case for a one-off Bond film.
Mm.
I think I've not been someone for this, but I think at this moment in time, this might be the time to give Christopher Nolan a one-off Bond film and just give him and his brother the script and say, it's yours. It's a free reign. You can do whatever you want. It's a one-off film. And in that time, just let it go where it wants. And then they can be planning for the future in the background. And the reason why, I know that that sounds a bit odd, and it may even direct where the franchise goes after, and it's given a lot of control to that they've never given before. But the point is that, as Tom said, they've said James Bond will return, and that is what Bond fans need the assurance of at the moment. Mm. The anxiety is that he might never return because he's dead. and while they're thinking, you know, navel gazing about what the way forward is, the clock ticks more and more. The problem is that they really focus so much on how's Bond relevant in the world today, and this is like they proper scratch their chins over this question and what are the issues in the world today, and it's like no. You know, we've got to get back to the fact of we want to escape from the world. We need an otherness from the world.
Mm.
Give it Nolan. Just let him have a one-off. This has come to me because of what you said yesterday.
Right. Mm. What? Because what I said?
Yeah.
You said you woke up.
I just woke up wondering if these delay tactics are because they're waiting for Christopher Nolan. Because obviously he's wrapped up in Oppenheimer at the moment.
Mm.
And if it were to be someone, if it were Christopher Nolan or someone who operates like Christopher Nolan, you can't decide anything until you've got a person like that. There's no point in them deciding anything. So I just wondered if they were delaying until then. This is just, I was going to say, is this a bit of a U-turn for you, John? Because I'm sure I can't remember whether you've been pro having Christopher Nolan or someone like him. You've mentioned before how, and you've got me all excited about is it a 3-film or 4-film?
Yeah.
Where everything's tied up. But come to think of it, I think you're absolutely right. You know, think about the other Bonds. They were treated individually. I think you get into some dangerous territory when you start to treat things as trilogies or as, you know, 4-film, 5-film arcs, because you're building towards an end point. And actually, you shouldn't be doing that with the Bond franchise. You do need one-offs. That's that's a really interesting point. Mm. Whether, you know, regardless of whether it's Christopher Nolan or not, a one-off would be really interesting. And it makes me think of also like Mission Impossible 3 and the Mission Impossible films up to that point. They each Mission Impossible and Mission Impossible 2, Mission Impossible 3, they just made the next one. They were different styles. And I think it just so happened that things stuck after kind of Mission Impossible 3. They found the rhythm. But it could be that they have a bit of wandering like that franchise did until they strike a chord, kind of.
It's really interesting. And John, thank you for sharing that. And obviously Harry this morning and stuff, because I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan, but I've been someone who's been reticent to give someone. It's not necessarily because it's him, but it's like that, the whole idea of handing over the power to the director. Mm. And I think, you know, directors have visions for things and auteurs but for Bond, the franchise is bigger than the director. And, you know, sometimes like I felt Sam Mendes had probably possibly too much say, and, you know, they were too bothered about him rather than in the past. It was like, well, if Terence Young's not, you know, not available, right, we move on to the next one. It's not Terence, when can you do the next one? But I know things have changed. But I think you're right. If something like that is ever going to happen, or if we get, you know, I know this seems to be the sort of a bit of a trend of the day, but like, you know, a one-off older Bond or a one-off period Bond or something like that. I mean, now is the time. If you just do a one-off, and if it were Christopher Nolan and you give him carte blanche, maybe not carte blanche, but
that'll be the title of the next Bond film.
Yeah. if you remember, he was involved with David S. Goyer in terms of thinking, what, I know it hasn't really landed with people, but what can we do for Superman? Like, oh, got an idea. And then he just stayed on as an executive producer. So he might, you know, he has had an executive producer role in the past. So he might be someone to, you know, he might do one and then just stay involved a little bit in the background in, you know, for the years to come. I don't know.
In terms of the, just quickly, the Nolan thing, you are right. It's the best time for him to do it. It does mean another 3 years at least, doesn't it? Probably. But we're looking at that anyway, because there's no...
Yeah.
You go back to the Marvel films. What's his name? Kevin Feige. I don't know. Again, don't know.
Yeah. Feige.
He's basically making all these films, isn't he? With his, I'm sure he's got an army of writers. The directors have absolutely minimal relevance, and the actors come in and they do the thing. There's no one like that to come in and say, if they bring Christopher Nolan, he'll end up doing everything. You know, which is good in a sense. But unless they get someone like him, long-term director of football, they'll just be in the same position they were in. But it's still better than nothing. I think Christopher Nolan, he's not someone who will... People might be scared that he might sort of... It's too much of an auteur. But he definitely respects Batman, doesn't he? It's not like he ripped up Batman and completely made it nothing like that. No, he made it what a lot of people wanted, and a direction that really pleased pretty much everyone. And it had all the beats of a Batman film and the comics. So there's no harm in suggesting him necessarily. The other quick thing I'd say is, I know Chris and John have said they think Barbara and Michael are going to go. I don't. I think because it's a family franchise that, you know, there's so much history in it for them. The name, the fact that Cubby was pretty much dying and he was still involved in GoldenEye, the fact that he sort of, it was everything to him in terms of the brand when it started, and seeing off Harry Saltzman in the end, it was absolutely everything to him. I just don't think they would sell it to somebody else and have absolutely no connection. Maybe executive producer, but
maybe they'll just get someone else on board. They'll always be
there.
They
do, but that doesn't...
There.
If they don't want to do it, no one can force them at the moment. Until we'll go on to Amazon next time, but yeah.
I think the only thing I'd say about the Christopher Nolan one, he has shown like Pierce Brosnan / Henry Cavill levels of desperation about Bond. You know, he's always gone on about how he loves it. And that's the issue. Mendes never showed any interest, and all of a sudden he comes out, oh, I'm a massive Bond fan.
Craig recommended him.
Nolan has shouted about Bond. I mean, everyone knows that Majesties is pretty much his favourite film of all time, you know, or one of them at least. And
before it was cool to say it as well.
He was the trendsetter.
Yeah,
I think that needs to be taken into account, that this is a guy who gets Bond.
And that is that. Those are the hands we want it in. Yeah. You've mentioned Henry Cavill, and you know, we'll get onto casting Bond, but it would be lovely to feel that it's in the hands of someone who knows the franchise inside out, who already has ideas, not someone who, you know, I'm sure, I can't imagine Sam Mendes was brimming with ideas and, you know, influences when it came to him. But you're right. I think whoever we cast, whoever gets casted, we won't be in charge of anything. But, you know, we'll have an episode on the music as well, but whoever gets given that job, I want it to be someone who's been waiting for this job, who's will utterly, utterly respect it. And during their careers, they've already been, like, plotting down ideas and saving it for when they get to do a Bond film. Yeah. Like I say, the next episode, we'll focus more on Eon and Amazon, because we've not mentioned much about the Amazon situation and how that affects things. This episode was, as you know, called Privileged Position. That's for us as fans to kind of soak up and enjoy the situation that we're in. But also, it was also meant for Barbara and Michael as well. You know, they are in this position to deliver. They, you know, rightly, through, you know, all the amazing decades of Bond films, are in this position. But we're counting on them now. The next big decision, every big decision will come from them. So as much as we want to enjoy ourselves talking about it, we are hanging on their every word at the moment. And maybe by the next episode, we'll have another little quote to focus on. But for now, that's all we've got, guys. That's all we've got. But thank you for listening, and tune in for the next episode of James Bond Will Return. Really, Douglas.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.